Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Drain Pipe Bomb Productions. I am the Bear of Texas, and let's welcome back Mark Braverman and the founder and CEO and president of Paint Drain Pipe Bomb Productions himself, the master of mayhem, Ricky Litwinkiewicz. Gentlemen, it's time to recap Crown Jewel.
Sir.
Oh, Crown Jewel. Another Saturday afternoon of time fucking lost.
Yeah, I figured that'd be the first thing you say, Ricky. What about you, Brav?
I thought it was a decent show. I didn't think it was any The main event was an amazing match, but there were some things in this that could have gone.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of getting a little ahead of ourselves, but first thing I want to say is I think Bronson Reed should have won. I might be an idiot for saying this, but no, I really do believe Bronson should have gone over. But we'll get to that. So, Ricky, you want to start off, sir?
No, not really.
Well, I know that Mark doesn't want to start us off, obviously, because the opening match.
Oh, wait, you took
Mark,
notes?
Mark, this has to stop. This NWO 2.0, I mean, come on, no.
3.0.
All right. The bloodline storyline today got even more interesting.
All right, but no, you know what?
It's ever been.
All right, first off, I believe earlier this year, I made statements. And the statements are obviously coming true. But
he's not wrong,
y'all. On top of these notes and proclamations that I made earlier this year, there's parts of this storyline that I don't think people are really focusing in on. And more likely than anything, it's more of the way that they're delivering this storyline, which is kind of out there, that there will never be a conclusion to a bloodline. There never will be a conclusion to this. Regardless of how many people wanted the story to end, they want Solo to take a nosedive off of a short pier, guess what? The bloodline thing will never, ever end. It was put in the storyline purposely on the, quote, pre-taped SmackDown that leaked a week before the show even aired. Why? Because of social media, first off. And there are lines being delivered from both sides that will prominently show that even after this bloodline civil war ends, that there probably will not be an end ever to having anything with the bloodline finishing. That's first off. Second off, I was actually a little shocked that they started off Crown Jewel with this match. I figured this would have been something that they would have kind of buried mid-card. I know they are trying to set up War Games at Survivor Series. Well, fine and great. The way this match went, was I shocked? A little. Roman Reigns taking the pin was not the right answer to it, because now you have just demoted the over-the-counter original tribal chief down the pecking order. It shows that there is not going to be very much unity in this War Games match to start. Jay refusing to tag in Roman, that's a line by itself. The way they drifted Sami Zayn into this match, yeah, no. I think that should have not been left for where it was. Or how they brought it in. Okay, like they teased him talking to Solo. Then you bring him in and you have him in a spot. This whole two-day thing, I'll include the pre-tape into it. I think it's just, it's a washing machine with marbles in it. And you really don't know like what sounds and reactions you're going to get from the marbles being in the washing machine. So like this to start off Crown Jewel was a complete mess. A complete mess. And I would have never have had this lead off the pay-per-view. Definitely not.
Mr. Robertman?
I would have killed this storyline 2.5 years ago. This is nothing, and I will say this, Alex, I don't care how many times you tell me that I have to stop with this. This is nothing but the same mistake that WCW made 25.5 years ago. This is nothing but an NWO ripoff. This is nothing but NWO black and white, black and red nonsense. And come the Survivor Series, watch what's going to happen. They're all going to apologize to each other, go into the camera and say, "We fooled you," because that's where they're going. Triple H called up Kevin Nash, Agent Hulk Hogan, called up Agent Hulk Hogan, called up Eric Idiot Bischoff and said, what should I do now? Because they're going to have a dead, boring storyline that nobody cares about. This is the absolute worst storyline in professional wrestling. It is terrible. It is boring. The crowd did not give a damn. I put the phone down when this match was on. There was a hockey game going on, which I watched, which I found far more entertaining than this nonsense.
See, Roman being
pinned does not bother me.
See, you don't. See, here's the problem with what you do with a pay-per-view. You did not pay attention throughout the entire match. When you see that, you watch it back, the crowd was into it the entire time.
I disagree.
Even with Sami Zayn coming out, he got a fucking pop.
Sami Zayn
for a guy before last year wasn't even allowed to even participate in Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's the rule. No,
that was because of religious reasons of why Sami Zayn could not pop in Saudi Arabia. And that motherfucker got a huge ass pop when he came down the ramp.
First of all, he got a pop because of the talent that he is, number one.
But they're trying to recreate something. This is not NWO. This is No, it's not. You want to know why? Because there's not enough star talent in this bloodline feud. Don't give me that bullshit. NWO was a collection of former world champions, basically, across the fucking board.
Three world champions.
Solo Sikoa has not been a fucking champion.
And he doesn't deserve it either.
Okay?
He does not deserve it either. This is the
fucking GOD. The GOD.
Why did WCW
not been champions in fucking in the WWE? Don't give me that bullshit. You have Lex Luger, former world champion. Nash, former world champion. Hogan, former world champion. Sting, world former champion. Scott Steiner, former world champion. Don't give me that bullshit.
This is exactly
what NWO was all former champions in the company.
Bagwell was a former champion? You're dreaming.
Yes, Bagwell was. He was a United States champion. He was a tag team champion in the company. Do you want to continue down the list? Because I can tell you that right now, NWO versus the two fucking bloodline factions are not even fucking close.
It's the exact same bullshit story.
WCW, when it got to NWO, was dinosaurs. guys that had completely no fucking direction, no fucking storylines, and you put them all fucking together. Don't give me this NWO bullshit.
Not one of any talent. Not one of them.
Wait. Not one person in NWO had any fucking talent.
Not one of them in the Bloodline have any talent either.
Really? Then you need to do your fucking research on G.O.D. You need to do your fucking true research on Jacob Fatu. Don't give me that bullshit. Do not go with that bullshit. You are burying what people did in other fucking countries, other fucking organizations. Do not tell me that G.O.D. has no fucking talent. They were part of the almost original fucking Bullet Club that's been going on still to this fucking day.
Bullet Club.
Jacob Fatu has been a fucking massive name on the indies waiting for somebody to fucking sign him with his fucking talent. Do not give me that fucking bullshit. Bloodline does not have any fucking talent.
We're not talking about the indies. Talk about WWE. Two completely different things.
It does not fucking matter. You're turning around and contradicting the fact. You said no one in the Bloodline has any fucking talent.
Not in WWE, no. No.
Then you need to really go back and watch everything.
That's how fucking
important. Because if you're going to turn around and tell me Jacob Fatu, who has spent his entire fucking career on the indies, has no talent, then you are fucking dead wrong.
Tell me something that they're being Solo's bitch. Show me something.
Hello. It's a fucking storyline. They are a faction.
Boring. That's what this is.
Then don't watch WWE anymore. Then don't watch it. Because guess what? Like I just fucking said, the Bloodline shit will never fucking end. There are way too many fucking wrestlers that maybe even hiding behind the storylines right now that are fucking coming through. And you will never see the end of the fucking Samoans in WWE after this. I'm sorry to tell you.
And I'm sorry to tell you I'm sorry to tell you this is nothing but boring ass bullshit.
Then don't fucking watch the product anymore. Go watch fucking tennis. Go watch fucking golf. Go watch fucking football, ice hockey. Because I'm guaranteeingly telling you, you're fucking deluded.
Okay.
You're fucking deluded when I tell you that I'm sitting here listening to you say that there's absolutely no talent in the Bloodline.
There's no talent there.
Then you are fucking blind. You're blind.
And you are
absolutely fucking blind.
And you are what?
You're blind because you don't fucking pay attention to anything else outside of fucking WWE. You don't look at fucking New Japan. You don't look at fucking ICW or GCW or any of those other fucking things anymore. WWE has fucking hit gold with bringing in G.O.D. They hit fucking gold with bringing in Fatu. Don't fucking tell me that these guys have no talent because you don't fucking pay attention outside the fucking glass ball of WWE.
Not if he's Solo's bitch. I'm sorry.
You should definitely not be a fucking storyline writer for anything.
I'm not a storyline writer. If I was, this bullshit never would have happened.
Yeah, because you'd fucking throw away fucking really good fucking talent that you have no fucking idea about. Zero.
Prove to me.
All right.
I don't have to fucking prove it to you.
He's got to prove himself.
Why don't you go back and watch all of the fucking footage before they got to WWE? And then fucking think about it. G.O.D. was fucking tag team champions how many times in fucking New Japan? In the most big fucking faction ever, and they were not leaders of the faction.
It's in Japan.
Oh, so now you're going to fucking throw Japan wrestling under the bus.
All right, come on, Mark. Mark, that's too far.
That's what you're doing.
New Japan is
throwing New Japan under the bus.
But this is not New Japan. This is a different company.
But you're bringing in fucking international fucking talent from fucking New Japan. That's what I don't understand why you cannot fucking look outside of the fucking frosted glass of WWE to see who these guys are. That's the fucking problem. You're turning around and saying, oh, they're under fucking Solo Samoa's thumb. Hello? Take a look at any major fucking faction that's been out there.
They're not.
Did you see fucking the New Age Outlaws be bitches on their fucking Triple H and fucking Shawn Michaels? No. Did you see fucking X-Pac do that? No. Every once in a while, when you got a head of a faction, you got to take a fucking backseat to some people.
Faction's going too long, and it's ridiculously boring.
And you need to stop fucking watching WWE, because you're fucking deluded.
All right, fellas. Well, this has certainly been something. Unfortunately, we just lost Ricky. That very, very unfortunate. But I think, Roman being pinned was certainly that was the shocking part. But the match itself, let's go on to the next match. The Fatal 4-Way tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship.
Very impressive match. Very impressive. All four teams, I think, brought it. What I was very surprised was that Chelsea Green got the ovation that she got. The crowd was screaming for Chelsea. I couldn't. That dropped my jaw. But she is a hell of a talent, though. She really is. This was a hell of a match. But we did have a rarity, though. Io Sky botch, which I couldn't believe. That's a rarity for her. But the match itself was incredible, and Lash Jackson, I'm very impressed by these two young ladies out of NXT.
Are you surprised, though, that the titles were retained?
Yeah, I am. I am. I was hoping Damage Control would win it, but I thought that it was a hell of a match. Blair and Jade using the LOD's finisher was incredible. I've never, especially on somebody's biggest Piper. That was also an incredible sight to see. I was very entertained by this match. I really was.
Yeah, this match really, honestly, didn't really had anything far from my interest. I wasn't really interested in this one at all, to be honest with you. The match did have a few hiccups, but of course the final grade was a B-.
I gave it a B also. Yeah. I gave it a B.
Well, now we got to get to this one because again, I have nothing really to say, but Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed.
That was a decent match. It wasn't great.
I mean, the crowd seemed to be more behind Bronson than Rollins. I mean, that's another reason. That's not one reason why I believe Bronson should have won, but if they're going to continue this storyline with those two, I mean, I felt like Bronson should have taken this win and have another encounter at Survivor Series.
I think they are going to have another match at the Survivor Series. I'm more of a Seth Rollins fan than I am Reed, so I'm happy that Seth Rollins won. It wasn't a particularly amazing match. I thought it was an above average. I mean, I'm going to give it a C, but it wasn't anything spectacular. And then again, Rollins hasn't been around lately, so I was entertained by it, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
And Bronson had been on a tear while Rollins was on a hiatus.
He has been, along with Becky Lynch, yes. So I think that he's still recovering from the injury that he sustained, and it was a very serious one. So I think that's why he's really not going all full out like he is, like he normally does. But hopefully he'll get back to 100% right now, and I think that's something that's very important for pro wrestling to be at that level. But the fact that he's wrestling the way that he is, even at 85%, still says a lot for him.
Do you believe that it would have been better if Bronson had won this match?
I don't think so. I don't think either way made a difference. But Bronson Reed, for a big man, can go. He really can. For a guy who's well over 300 pounds, the man can go in a ring.
I mean, performing the tsunami is pretty entertaining.
It is. That really was incredible. If somebody decides to perform that kind of a move, it really was.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely kind of basically a little bit of a Marvel and DC Comics kind of match, because you have, you know, the superhero Rollins versus, you know, the big villain.
Pretty much. Pretty much, but
all the stomps that it took to put Bronson Reed away. I mean, so I guess in a way, yeah, they're trying to build up Bronson, but still, I really feel like, you know, at the same time, I mean, Rollins losing, some people said that's a serious risk because, you know, he'd be buried, but that I would disagree because Rollins is in good standing. Rollins, you know, the lengthy career, so yeah, I don't think Rollins losing cleanly, that would not have made Rollins look bad.
I don't think so either. But
yeah, Rollins would have been in good standing if he had lost cleanly to Bronson, because I'm sold on the fact Bronson should have won this match. Bronson should have gone over.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think that Rollins, for his comeback, needed this more than Reed did. I think in Survivor Series round two, probably they'll give it to Reed, and then they'll set up number three for whatever the hell they do for the Royal Rumble.
Well, a loss would have basically given him the chance to – that would have been a better reason for him to rebuild and then come back stronger, because it would say he had been gone a while. He probably hadn't had a match. So, yeah, but again – as we see it, I mean, again, I'm sold on the fact, yeah, Rollins shouldn't have won this match. I think Bronson should have won it.
You mean Reed should have won, but okay.
Yeah, Reed should have won, yeah.
And before we continue, I want to apologize for the language. I think it got a little too out of hand with me and Ricky, but he brought up Japan. I didn't bring up Japan. He did. Everybody knows I have no problem with the Indies. I was a big Ring of Honor fan before they got bought off by Tony Khan. It's very hard to find New Japan wrestling here in New York. That's number one. I'm not going to apologize for my hatred of the Bloodline storyline, because it is just an awful storyline. But I apologize for out of hand it got to everybody watching this. But, you know, when you attack me like that, I'm going to attack you right back. That's, you know, he lost his cool over nothing. He really did. But I lost my cool over nothing also. So, you know, I think it got a little too heated there. And I apologize to everybody watching. Alex, I apologize to you as our host as well. I am sorry.
I mean, I accept your apology. I just wish that Ricky was still here, so he would have heard this apology. But, you know, this is one of the things that the fans wanted to, you know, the fans, I'm sure the listeners wanted to hear something like this. But, yeah. I'm just sitting there, you know, just watching this. I mean, this turned into a political panel between a Democrat and a Republican kind of thing. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, when I see wrestling fans kind of getting these arguments, personally, I just find, you know, some people would find this a little entertaining, but, you know, some people would compare this little thing to a Jim Cornette versus Vince Russo thing, although I'll never forget how recently Vince Russo went off on that reporter regarding the whole Vince McMahon thing. But anyway, I appreciate you apologizing. I hope Ricky hears it too. And it's a shame that unfortunately after this, Ricky decided to step away. It's sad that things have turned out this way, because I was really excited to do this episode with you both. But let's go ahead and move on. Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax.
I've said this time and time again on this show. I said it time and time again on Facebook. I said it time and time on other shows. This match has proven what I've said about Nia Jax all along. She cannot wrestle. She's horrible in the ring. She is terrible. Liv won. That's exactly how, I mean, Liv did win this by herself. Liv won. I'm happy Liv won. So I thought the match was terrible. I thought it was awful. You know, you have Liv Morgan, who's an outstanding wrestler, against somebody who can't wrestle. It's you're gonna get a match like this. I will say this though, I am sick and tired of, as we said about other people being the thing about with the Bloodline. I am sick and tired of Tiffany Stratton being Nia Jax with a B in front of it. I really am. Tiffany has more talent in her left hand than Nia does in her entire body. It is time for Tiffany to get the hell away from Nia. Tiffany should have had one of the greatest rookies of the year runs of all time. She should have. She came into a Rumble white hot. She should have won the Queen of the Ring tournament, not Nia. That was politics. And honestly, you can't have Nia keep trying to stop Tiffany from cashing in the Money in the Bank suitcase. What is it, the third or fourth time already? Again, it's a bad storyline. It's boring. You're going to kill Tiffany's character. It's that simple.
I do believe you. You see, now I really think they met. Okay, because I'm sure last time they said the cash-in should happen at Survivor Series. Based on what we saw on this one, yeah, they messed up big time. Right? The cash-in should have happened at that moment.
Like, the cash-in should have happened months ago.
I mean, I think especially since the way Nia Jax lost, yeah, I do honestly had Tiffany Stratton cashed in. Yeah, that would have been good. Especially, you know what? I think that segment they had, that Tiffany said that if I beat you for the title, do I take Dom with me? That I thought was pretty funny.
That was silly. That was just silly nonsense. But Tiffany said that she was going to walk out of Saudi Arabia with one of the belts. She didn't. So that was a buildup to saying, yeah, we're going to turn Tiffany on Nia. It is time for Tiffany to turn face. She's extremely popular. If you look around, you see a lot of Tiffany t-shirts in the crowd. Every time she comes out, the crowd is white hot for her. She's much better looking than Nia. She's a better wrestler than Nia. She's a better talent than Nia. So why would you have one of the best talents in the WWE under somebody's, shall we say, thumb and umbrella, whatever you want to call it, as talented as Tiffany is? She does not need Nia. Break her away. How great would it have been if we take out Nia and we put in Tiffany in this match? You would have had a much better match with Tiffany and Liv, or Naomi and Liv. It's not even close.
Yeah, the whole storyline with Nia and Tiffany. I mean, honestly, like I said, I never really liked it from the beginning, but
I didn't like it either. I thought it was ridiculous.
And I honestly believe that you could tell the fans loved Morgan despite her being a heel. I mean, obviously, yeah.
Because she can wrestle, she's talented, she's beautiful, she's everything you want in a woman's wrestler. She really is. She can wrestle, she's good on the mic, she's beautiful, she's everything that you want a women's champion. She's like Trish Stratus, to be honest with you, in that kind of category.
As it is, she's a very Harley Quinn esque athlete, yeah, but
that too.
But as far as what we saw in the match, well, it's, you know, especially like, you know, how it started, how Liv Morgan just goes on a bit of a rampage, you know, immediately trying to fight off Nia Jax. I mean, it kind of seemed that all of a sudden, you know, Liv Morgan all of a sudden displayed a little bit of a babyface attitude right there, immediately going after the big monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bleacher Report says this, but if you watch the match, it's obvious. This was an underdog versus a monster sort of match.
Yep.
But I can't say unfortunate, but I guess the unusual thing is the fact is both of them are heels. So it's obvious that the crowd can't really seem to favor one. But it was obvious that, as I said, Liv Morgan was the one being favored by the crowd.
Liv Morgan's always... I've never seen a pro-Nia crowd. I've never seen a pro-Nia crowd in the entire time that she's been in the company. I've never seen that. I've never seen anybody walk around telling me Nia Jax is their favorite wrestler. I've never seen it, and you probably never will. But Liv is a talent. Liv can wrestle. So this really was what it was. I'll put it to you that way.
And the match got a C+. So
I gave it a D.
Because it's, you know, Liv Morgan did, you know, Liv Morgan there. I think that's probably why he got a C+.
No, I gave it a D.
As BR said, yeah, they felt that around the ending was a little overbooked. But I think they said maybe the cash that didn't happen was just to give Morgan a...
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
A little bit of a hurl moment, I guess, which I get. But yeah, I think, you know, Liv Morgan versus Tiffany Stratton. I mean, because they're both, you know, I mean, you can tell that they both have, you know, those acrobatic skills. Yeah, that would have been something. A super high flying match between two phenomenal female athletes.
They would have loved it.
Two female athletes that have that Harley Quinn athleticism.
Sure.
I mean, hey, when she was in the Riot Squad, yeah, Liv Morgan was Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm. And the Riot Squad was a phenomenal faction, but they knew when it was time to let them go.
Right. Anyway, so now we get to Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. I mean, all I can say is, for me as a Kevin Owens fan, it's good to see him be the heel again.
This was an ECW quality brawl. That's what this was. This was fun. I mean, I wanted to see them go at it with each other, honestly, but I thought the brawl was fun. After two subpar matches, we got what wrestling fans have been waiting for a while already. A brawl. A huge down out, drag out affair, ECW style brawl, and I loved it. I really did. I was like, yeah, wow, this is something that I was into. You know, to have them go all over the arena, stunning referees, RKO and officials, chairs, tables flying, Kevin Owens flying through the air. Amazing. A great brawl. Amazing brawl. It really was.
Exactly. Now I'm a little overwhelmed with the adrenaline. But yeah, you know, the RKO to Adam Pearce, the stunner to the referee, taking the chair away. Yeah, should we call it now Kevin Owens versus Orton at WrestleMania?
I think so. I mean,
it's too early, so we're probably going to see it at Survivor Series. We're probably going to see it at the Royal Rumble.
What if we see it at Hell? What about? I think they're going to build this so they can put him into some sort of Hell in the Cell. Or maybe some sort of no holds barred match, or weapons match, or you know, something really, really big to cap it off. But we're gonna have to build to that for a while. But I think obviously they're gonna meet again November 30th at the Survivor Series.
I mean, if they're gonna build this to WrestleMania, that means that I'll have to say Kevin Owens is gonna. I mean, well, if that's the way to do it. If Owens wins one encounter, whether it's at Survivor Series or at the Rumble, they would have to tell me that Orton would have to win another one. You know, part of me says the story would turn out better if Owens won at the Rumble and Survivor Series but lost at WrestleMania. Some would say that would make more sense. It's arguable. It's debatable. But as long as they can make Owens and Orton a very, very good and quality rivalry, that's what I want to see.
They're going to match each other very well. They're going to... Both these men can wrestle. Both these men can do whatever you want them to do in a ring. If you want to brawl... If you want to brawl, they can brawl. If you want to wrestle, they can wrestle. They both have that... They both have that talent. I think that Owens needs to win the first one, obviously, just to say that he is the monster that he... He is the monster heel that he is. You come back at the Rumble, Orton wins at the Rumble, and then their final shootout will probably be at WrestleMania. I think that's how it has to go. I think it has to be 1-1 heading into Mania, not 2-0.
It's better 1-1. Both guys are in the Rumble. let's say Orton eliminates Owens, and later on Owens comes back and either causes Orton's elimination or actually eliminates him himself.
I think that's a fair analogy for this. I don't see either one of them winning the Rumble anyway, but
yeah, so that's why I say Owens gets eliminated by Orton. Owens comes back in, and as I said, either causes the elimination or does it himself. I would say it would be better if Owens came in, stuns Orton. Well, since he's a heel now, power bombs him, eliminates him, and then power bombs him either on the announce table or on the ring apron.
Either way, whoever eliminates two in the Rumble, I think it's going to be lead to WrestleMania. It would have to be night two, not night one. Number one. I think that you just can't put them in a regular match. We made that mistake at the last WrestleMania when you had a special guest referee. We're not going to get into that because that match was awful anyway. I think that if you have them in some sort of specialty match, false count anywhere, hardcore match, last man standing, knockout match, whatever. I think that should be the third and final match at Mania. And again, it would have to be night two. Definitely not night one.
I mean, honestly, I've talked about this with Ricky. I mean, the whole night one, night two thing, I think a lot of fans, some fans are in favor of it, some aren't.
I'm one of them who's not. I agree with you on that one.
But
I'm not for two nights either.
Yeah, now that I think of it, sooner or later, they're probably going to have to go back to night one. But I don't know.
Or one night, actually, instead of having two nights. I don't like SummerSlam being two nights either, by the way.
Now, if both nights were with high-stacked cards, with, you know, like that, then maybe. But some would say that's just honestly not been the case because, not every match is going to be a blockbuster. Some going to be lackluster, but, you know, you just can't please anybody. Technically, was this even a match? Because, you know, obviously this ended in no contest. Like, so this is technically not a match that was on the card, but still, this particular thing with Owens and Orton, it was entertaining.
The match was on the card. They booked it Orton versus Kevin. It just never got going. Instead, it just turned out to be a piercings brawl, which sometimes you have to have in professional wrestling.
Absolutely. Okay, the United States Championship, a triple threat match, or a three-way dance, as I like to call. LA Knight versus Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes.
Okay, there's a difference between a three-way dance and a three-way match. The three-way dance was invented by ECW, where you go to one guy's left standing. That's the difference. A three-way, you go until somebody gets pinned. There is a difference in the rule book.
All right, I'm glad you're clarifying, but
thank you.
I'm just not really a fan of the whole triple threat. But
it depends on the wrestlers. I mean, there have been some great triple threats in the Indies. ROH had a couple of them. ECW ECW had a few of them going for a while. I mean, Barely Legal 97 had a great one. So you're talking about like they're all terrible. They're not all terrible. Some are horrible, I'll give you that. Some are great.
Well, it's just calling it a triple threat match. That's just, I prefer to call it a three-way or, as you say. Anyway, it doesn't really matter what I think. As the great one would say, it doesn't matter what you think, especially if you ask me if that's what I think. But LA Knight versus Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes, I really don't even know what to say about this whole thing, honestly. But Bleacher Report gave this match an A-.
I gave it a B. I thought it was a decent match. I would like to have seen, honestly, let me brush up for a second. I'd like to have seen Andrade and Hayes actually finish their seventh series. I thought that series was phenomenal. To have it the way it ended, again, special guest referees are always stupid. I hate it when they do this. Ruined by LA Knight for no reason. I would have liked to have seen a definite win between the two of them in the seven, but it is what it is. We got this match. I was entertained by it. I thought it was a good match. I don't think it was an A match, but it was fun to watch. Watch them go all over the ring, suplex, jumping over top rope, stuff like that. Love it. Ground and pound wrestling was here too. LA Knight takes it. But I'm going to say this. He's had the belt for a very long time, and this is only his fifth title defense. That's horrible.
Yeah, he's had the belt since what, SummerSlam?
I believe so. About 60-some-odd days he's had the belt and only defended four or five times. That's not good for WWE either.
I mean, that's not good. That's, yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, he's, you know, he's the guy just, you know, doing, he's doing his job, so.
He is, but I like to see more title defenses than what we're getting, to be honest.
Wasn't there a match recently, I think on SmackDown, between Carmelo Hayes and Andrade? Who was the special guest referee? I think it was LA Knight, the special guest referee.
That's what I said. Yeah, it was a seven game. Yeah. It was supposed to be the end of the best out of the seven, and they ruined it by having LA Knight beat the crap, beat the holy hell out of both of them. So,
yeah.
Well, like I said, I would have liked to have seen an ending to that because that was just a phenomenal series for SmackDown. But that's just me.
So, I mean, obviously, like I said, LA Knight, he retained, you know, he hit his finisher on both guys at the same time and he pinned Hayes. So, yeah, I mean, the match itself, you know, it was all right. You know, able to make it through, but I mean, at this point, if I remember correctly, the crowd was chanting for all three of them. So, when you're in a triple threat match, when the crowd is calling the name of all three competitors, I don't know if I should say something right happened. Many things happened. I mean, something happened, Mark.
Something got a spark. You know, these three guys are very talented. I'm not particularly a fan of any of them, but I think these three guys are very talented. They can go in the ring, and when you put three wrestlers who can wrestle well in the ring, you're gonna get a fire. And this is what this was. It was a very talented, entertaining match, and that's what it was.
Okay, main event time: the Ring General versus the American Nightmare. Champion versus champion, Gunther versus Cody Rhodes.
I was all in on this one.
I mean, here's another superhero kind of thing going on, a little Marvel DC kind of thing. Okay, who do we call Cody? Do we call him Nightwing? I mean, which hero is he? If you don't mind me asking.
I would say it was more like Batman versus Lex Luthor.
Okay. Or,
to be honest with you.
That's one. Part of me says Gunther kind of gives me the little Mr. Sinister kind of thing.
Then
it's not the Blob. Now, years ago, I probably would have said if he was still at the same physique as years ago, probably would call him the Blob. But no, I would say he's more like Mr. Sinister is Gunther.
If you're gonna go that far, then you have to call Cody Cyclops.
You know what? No, let's go with that. Cody actually does actually kind of give sometimes a little Scott Summers Cyclops sort of thing, except Cody doesn't need the whole whatever that thing's called on Cyclops' eyes because of the accident. If you read the guy's backstory, if I remember correctly, he got hit in the head. I forget.
Scott Summers developed his powers later on, but the eye band helps him control the eye power problem.
Yeah,
but this really was a very entertaining match. I thought this was a great match for both of them. Showed why. They're both the world champions. There's no way you can tell me that this wasn't a phenomenal match. I was very entertained by it from start to finish. And I love the fact that not only did one champion use a finishing move from the former tag team champions, but Cody went into Bret Hart's playbook at the end of the match. I thought that was great also to see wrestling's current stars going back to the past and pulling out some of their old stuff when it works. And that really worked for Cody. That was great.
Walk us through that particular stunt, if you would please, sir.
Okay. The first time I saw it, Bret Hart used this a lot. He used it against Stone Cold Steve Austin. He used against Stone Cold the Madison Square Garden. He used it against Roddy Piper and WrestleMania 8 to beat him for the Intercontinental title. When they go for the sleep hold, you either put your feet on the turnbuckle and pull yourself backwards, or you're able to jump backwards and go for the cover like Cody did. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal move. It really is, and to me, it's a great, it's an exciting move to see somebody able to do that. God knows I can't do that. So it's an athletic maneuver. It's a wrestling maneuver. And it worked well. It really did. I thought the match was perfect. Gunther using all of his moves, the pile drivers, the clotheslines, the uppercuts, that chop. Oh, my God, that hurt.
So, man, those chops hurt.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Sting. Anytime Flair hit him.
All right. Well, yeah, obviously, but...
This was a men's match. This was a powerful match between two extreme, extraordinary athletes. It really was. I loved it. This is a match you can watch over and over again. You can't watch the show over and over again, but you can definitely watch the main event over and over again and be very satisfied with it.
Yeah, the finish, obviously, because the last thing they need is to make Gunther look weak. So obviously, Gunther, they could have it finished to where he probably takes maybe three crossroads, maybe up to five, because I would say it would take at least five in a row to beat the guy, and then have him be pinned in the middle of the ring. That would have probably hurt his stock a little bit, but. Now, if I remember correctly, like the way it was pinned, like was it similar to the WrestleMania 10 match between Owen and Bret?
No, this was go back to WrestleMania 8 when Bret beat Piper. That's the exact move that Cody used to beat him. You put the guy in a sleeper hold. You put your feet on the top row, but you jump over. That's what Hart did to Piper. What Cody did was a little bit more difficult because he came off the top rope. He got caught in the suplex. Gunther's on the mat. Cody's on top. Cody flips his entire body over and then pins him. Amazing maneuver.
So it's basically like, yeah, catch your opponent off guard when and he's not going to see it coming.
Right. Well, hold on.
But
I'm going to use leaders. All right, here's what happened. I'm going to use it with these guys, okay? Here's a sleeper hold, all right? Turn the body over, hold the sleeper hold down. 1, 2, 3. That's exactly what Cody did. They're on the mat.
All right.
They're on the mat like these two are on my desk. Flips himself over. In this case, he was with Sasha Banks and Lita. And bang, there's the cover. He takes his arms against him. And he put his body weight completely on him. That's exactly what happened. Amazing maneuver. The other way to do it, let's say the books of the turn. Hold on. Let's say the phone's a turnbuckle, right? Sasha's got Lita. Lita goes from the turnbuckle, bang, completely comes over, arms across. She's still locked in the hole, but now Lita's on top of her. That's how it ended in WrestleMania 8. And that's what they did tonight. It's a great maneuver and a great way to remember the past wrestlers. Absolutely phenomenal.
I mean, the crowd was so into it.
Oh, the crowd went crazy. The crowd went crazy for this match, and I don't blame them.
Man, I mean, that first chop, yeah, that was loud.
Oh God! I'm in New York. They're all the way. They're on the other side of the world in Saudi Arabia, and I felt that thing here in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I can imagine you must have felt it down there in Texas too. Oh, did you feel how? Did you feel that chop when he hit that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're farther away than I am.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little memory, like my mind blacked out because I forgot how the ending of the match went. That's why I had to ask you, and unfortunately it happens. But Gunther, once again, at the end of the match, what did Gunther do, actually?
After they showed all the highlights, they were standing in the ring. Gunther and him shook hands, tapped each other on the shoulder. Gunther leaves. Triple H comes out with the a couple, I guess, officials from Saudi Arabia. They hand the belt to Cody. They cut to another replay. Liv comes into the ring. Two of them are standing there. Triple H raises both hands. Liv and goes to one corner. Cody to the other. They lift up the belts. Show ends.
So let me ask you again, is Gunther headed towards a face turn?
Yes, I think he is. And I think it needs to happen.
Really?
I think that he needs to go face because of his popularity right now. The fans will tell you who needs to go face.
And I think I ask you this because a year or so ago, you told me that a face turn for Gunther would have been the worst thing to do.
A year ago, yes, but now that he's building up to what he is, I don't know if he can be face. I don't know, but I think that's where they're going with him. I want him to stay heel. I think personally he's a better heel like you do. Do I think he's going to go face? It is a strong possibility.
Except if he goes face, I mean, I'm just not sure how we could see him as a face. I mean, I said the same thing about The Miz, like when The Miz turned face back in 2013, which, yeah, I didn't understand how it would work. I mean, was Miz's face turn in 2013 the worst thing I had ever seen? No. Do I think it should have happened? Okay, at first I said no, but the way it turned out, I'm like, okay, fine. It wasn't the worst thing I saw, but I prefer Miz heel. Now, people will say the last couple of years, well, Miz is basically at that point where he's not that same guy he was, you know, way back then when he was those high-profile feuds. But some wrestlers are just not meant to be a heel, or they're not meant to be a baby face. But I felt the same thing about Maxwell Jacob Friedman, and that face turn actually worked out. Sometimes our eyes are open in a way, and we see something we just never expected it. So that's what pro wrestling does. So. Like, I feel like I didn't think it would work with Miz, didn't think it would work with MJF. So here I am once again. Let's see how it happens with Gunther.
I'll put it to you this way. I never thought Kurt Hennig would work out to be a face, and that did for a while. I'm a very old WCW wrestling fan. I never thought I'd ever see DDP as a face, and he was for, and that worked out perfectly for him. So sometimes they can shock you. When they turn, sometimes they have that thing in them where they can just flip the switch, and the people are gonna love them.
Apparently, we lost Mr. Broadman for a second. Here he is.
I'm sorry, I got a phone call. I apologize about that. I don't know why people are calling me now. DDP, when he started off in wrestling, was actually a heel. It turned in face, and it exploded. So. Perfect. Was a heel his entire career until 1992. Worked out really well.
So we'll see how it goes for the ring general, but...
We'll see. I think he's a better heel than Lenny's face, though.
Obviously, but I don't think I see the face turn happening until probably after WrestleMania. That's provided that he drops the belt. You know what? No, even if he retains the belt, he could still turn into a full-fledged face.
Not the belt, he can't. No, not the title. No, he'd have to lose the belt first.
And then basically show a sign of respect, and then I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure he had been asked before. Like, I think there was a report that said that he was quote open to a face turn. I feel like Gunther does business. Like, look, if he's open, to, I guess he's probably just saying like he's open to trying it. But he said he was open to a face turn, but like I said. We can sit here and say it's not going to work, but again, in my case, I felt the same thing about Miz, MJF. I'm sure there's other wrestlers that, you know, that were heel that I thought could never work as a face, but it worked. So, what do I know?
What
the hell do I know?
Kurt Hennig.
I mean, yeah, Kurt Hennig, yeah, obviously, a guy named Mr. Perfect. Do you expect a guy who calls himself Mr. Perfect to turn face?
Yeah, we expect that one, but...
When Owen Hart turned face as well.
That was a brief turn though. They turned him heel. They turned him back rather quickly though.
Or when Triple H turned face in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
But Eddie has that magic like Macho Man Randy Savage did to go face or heel. He's gonna get Bayley and Sasha have that same thing. They can go face or heel. They're always gonna have fans.
And Roddy Piper, too. Piper as well.
Ric Flair, of course. And go face the heel. He's always going to have fans. But there are just some wrestlers who have that talent. Liv Morgan, I guess, is on that list now. But there are some wrestlers who can pull off both sides. Gunther, yeah. I think, I've never seen Gunther face. So I don't know. But that's just me. I don't know if you have, but have you ever seen him face?
I mean, whether I have or not, I mean, where he is at this point of his career, what he's accomplished and how over he is and the future, how bright the future is for the guy.
Very bright.
That's just the way I see it, because he's on a whole new level than he was before. I'm not burying him for his past. No, he's always been a great wrestler. He's always had a great career that has Gunther. I'm just saying that his career has always been great, but that level of great is at a much, 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 much higher level now. It's a different circumstance, is what I'm trying to say. So,
I think so, too.
Because, again, I have to remind everybody, because people seem to forget, Vince McMahon, once upon a time, wanted to bury him, send him back to NXT, and eventually fire the guy.
Yeah, well, thank God he didn't
do that. People will think it's irrelevant that I remind them, like, no, it's not. It is relevant because, again, where how over he is now, how great things are coming, all this would have not happened if Vince McMahon had made that dumb decision. But thankfully, Triple H and several other guys made sure it didn't happen. And I know that Triple H is the mastermind of preventing that from happening. So thank God. Thank God for Gunther. Thank God for the Ring General.
I agree with that one. And you have to also remember, I hate to bring this up, but Vince McMahon is the reason why Roman Reigns been rammed down our throats for 10 years. Mm. That was Vince's idea. It didn't work.
Yeah, well, at least Paul Heyman by his side. I mean, at least Paul Heyman, you know, is a huge part of what kept us going. So I'm going to give credit to Paul Heyman. But your final thoughts on the show?
I thought it was a C. I thought the main event was very well. I thought that the three-way match was well. The rest of it, no. The rest of it, no. It didn't live up. And I thought the brawl was fine. That was most entertaining. The brawl and the main event were the two most entertaining parts of the whole night. I really believe that.
Right. And, you know, obviously, I'm going to make you turn your head again. I mean, the opening match, I did enjoy it, but let's not, because, you know, again, we apologize. Things got a little bit chaotic, but the main event was great, and then the brawl between Owens and Randy Orton, but I would say I'd probably give this show a B.
I gave it a C.
But
I gave it a C.
All right, anything else, Mark?
If you want to find me, I'm on Facebook at Mark Braverman. I'm on TikTok if you want to find me there too. I do promote. I'm on my own on Facebook. I promote a lot of hockey, and I do promote. And I am a movie reviewer, so I do all that stuff along with Ringside Cast. So Alex, thank you for having me on the show. And again, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. It's just two New Yorkers with high, shall we say, high tempers that sometimes do clash. I've known Ricky for years, but to attack me the way that he did was wrong, and the way I attacked him was also wrong. And I do apologize again to our viewers. Alex, I apologize to you, and I apologize to Ricky about losing my cool. I just do not think that I do not think that the Bloodline is anything more than what it is. I think it's a boring storyline. And I think, honestly, I need to go 2.5 years ago. Yeah, I really do. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, Ringside Chaos is available wherever you get your podcast. So please hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you all very, very much. Mark, thank you again. And again, it's unfortunate what happened earlier on. But, you know, as Mark said, apparently that's what New Yorkers do. I mean, I'm a Texan, so I wouldn't know. Us Texans, we kind of handle things a little bit different, but.
Sometimes it happens.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you all very much. We'll see you all next time.
All right. Have a good one.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.